All right, ready to dive into something pretty crucial for, well, anyone who's ever worked anywhere, really.
Definitely a topic with broad appeal.
Yeah, we're talking Employee Net Promoter Score, EMPS for short.
Ah, EMPS.
We're basing this deep dive on a Forbes article.
It sounds interesting.
It's by this CEO, super passionate about building like a really great place to work. You know, where people actually want to show up every day.
Yeah, I think we all know those workplaces exist, and then there are the others.
Exactly. So this ENPS thing is all about finding out if employees would actually recommend their company to a friend.
Or if they're frantically polishing their resume in secret.
Okay, so kind of like a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, you could say that. Like, we all know there's the official company line, right?
Right.
And then there's the reality of what people are actually saying around the water cooler.
Totally.
ENPS tries to bridge that gap.
So how does it actually work? Break it down for me.
It's all about one simple question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend working here to someone you know?
Straightforward enough.
Yeah. And based on those answers, you get three main categories of employees.
Okay, let's hear them.
So you've got your promoters. These are your super fans, the ones giving 9s and 10s.
They're the ones posting those like overly enthusiastic living my best life at work selfies, right?
Pretty much. Then you've got the passives, sort of in the middle, 7s and 8s. Content, but not exactly, you know, shouting their love from the rooftops.
Not writing Glassdoor reviews in their spare time.
Nope. And then you've got the detractors. The 1 to 6 crew.
Oof. Those are the ones who might be updating their LinkedIn profiles as we speak.
Yeah, maybe discreetly browsing job boards during their lunch break.
So it's like a popularity contest for companies,
yeah,
but with actual real world implications.
Exactly. And here's where it gets a little interesting. Those passives, the ones who are kind of about it all.
Yeah.
They actually don't factor into the final ENPS score.
Wait, seriously? You just ignore a whole chunk of your employees like that?
It's not about ignoring them. It's more about, well, think about it this way. When you're making a decision about anything, really, who are you more likely to listen to?
That's a good point.
Like, let's say you're picking a new restaurant or a movie to watch, or even thinking about applying for a job somewhere.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you going to be swayed by the friend who's raving about it or the one who's just like, eh, it was all right?
Yeah, it's the strong opinions that really stick with you, both good and bad.
Exactly. It's the promoters versus the detractors that have the biggest influence. Word of mouth is powerful.
So a company figures out their ENPS score. What then? What do they do with that information? It's not just bragging rights.
No, right? Definitely not just bragging rights. Though, I mean, a high score can indicate a healthy workplace, generally.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But really, it's about understanding what's going on beneath the surface. A high score suggests, you know, a motivated and engaged workforce, which usually means good things.
Right.
Better productivity, lower turnover.
Makes sense.
And just a stronger overall company culture.
Okay, so happy employees, happy company. Makes sense. But what about the flip side? What happens when a company gets, you know, a less than stellar ENPS score?
Well, that's when things get really interesting, honestly. A low score is like a big warning sign flashing, like, hey, something needs attention over here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it could be anything, really. Poor management, lack of growth opportunities, even like a toxic work environment. The important thing is you don't just ignore it. You dig deeper, figure out what's driving that dissatisfaction, and actually take action.
So it's a little like a final verdict and more of a starting point for a conversation.
Exactly. And that's actually what we're going to dig into next. This Forbes article, it actually gives some really good advice on how companies can actually use ENPS to create positive change.
Okay, I'm definitely intrigued. So how do companies even go about implementing this ENPS thing effectively? Because I can imagine if it's not done right, it could backfire pretty spectacularly.
Yeah, you're not wrong. There are definitely some pitfalls to avoid. The author of the article, right off the bat, really stresses the importance of anonymity.
Makes sense.
Employees have to feel safe being completely honest, knowing their feedback isn't going to come back to bite them.
Yeah, no one wants to be known as, like, that guy who tanks the company's ENPS score.
Exactly. Anonymity is key. It's the only way you're going to get honest, unfiltered feedback. It's not just about asking that one core question either.
Oh, there's more.
The article suggests adding some follow-up questions to really get to the heart of what's going on.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, they can be things like, what should we stop doing?
Okay.
What should we start doing? What should we keep doing?
I like it.
And one that I particularly like, what would have to be different for you to give us a 10?
Oh, I like that one. It's not just, you know, complaining. It's actually making people think about solutions.
Exactly. It encourages employees to be part of the solution, not just point out all the problems.
Okay, so anonymity, follow-up questions. What other tips does this article have?
Another interesting point is the idea of breaking down the results by team.
Oh, interesting.
If possible, obviously. You know, you need enough people in each team to maintain that anonymity. But if you can do it, it can be really helpful to see how different departments are feeling.
Yeah, I can see how that would be useful. Like, if one team consistently has a much lower score than others, that's a pretty clear signal that something's not quite right over there.
Exactly. It helps companies zero in on specific areas where they need to focus their efforts. And then finally, the article really emphasizes the importance of consistency.
Consistency.
Don't just do the ENPS survey once and call it a day. You got to make it a regular thing, ideally quarterly, so you can track progress over time. It shows employees that you're committed to listening.
So it's about building a culture of feedback, not just a one-time checkup.
Exactly. Which leads us to the next big question.
Yeah.
How do companies actually interpret these scores? Because, you know, as we've seen, ENPS is more than just a number. It's really a way to understand and improve employee sentiment.
And that sounds like a perfect segue into part two of our deep dive. We've laid the groundwork. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of how to actually use this information to create a better workplace. Stay tuned. Welcome back. So we talked about what ENPS is and how to gather the data. But now we get to the really important part. You know, what do you actually do with that information?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What's the point of all this data if it just sits in a spreadsheet somewhere?
Right. Got to put it to work. One of the things the author talks about is actually making ENPS part of the leadership team's objectives.
Oh, interesting.
You know, those big picture goals that they're working toward.
I think they're called OKRs.
Yeah.
Objectives and key results.
Right. Yeah, you got it.
I've heard that term thrown around, but honestly, I'm a little fuzzy on what it actually means. Basically, it's just a way for companies to set clear, measurable targets and track their progress, right?
Okay, so the author is saying if you really care about employee experience, it can't just be a side project.
Exactly. It needs to be like baked into those top level goals.
So it's not just the HR department's problem. It's something the entire leadership team is accountable for.
You got it. And that sends a message to the entire company that this stuff matters, that employee feedback isn't just an afterthought, you know?
Right, right.
But even having goals in place isn't enough. The author also talks about the importance of actually, you know, acting on the feedback that you receive.
Well, yeah, it's one thing to say you care about employee experience, but it's another to actually do something about it.
Right. And he gives some pretty concrete examples of how companies can do that. One of the simplest things, but also one of the most overlooked, is just sharing the results.
Sharing the results.
Yeah, with the whole company. And not just the overall score, but the qualitative feedback as well.
Okay, so like transparency is key.
Exactly. It shows employees that you're actually taking their feedback seriously, and it gives everyone a sense of ownership over the process.
I like it.
And then, of course, comes the really important part, making actual changes based on that feedback.
So if employees are consistently saying they want more professional development opportunities or that they're really frustrated with a certain process, the company actually takes steps to address those things.
That's the goal. It's about showing employees that their voices are being heard, you know, that the company is committed to making things better.
Okay, so that's all about how companies can actually use the ENPS data. But
yep.
I'm still kind of stuck on this whole benchmark thing. Is there a magic number a company should be aiming for?
Well, the author mentions some benchmarks based on his experience. He says anything below 25 isn't great, 25 to 50 is good, and 50 and above is really good.
Okay.
But he also cautions against getting too fixated on specific numbers.
I can see why. Every company is different, you know? Every industry is different. What might be amazing in one context could be mediocre in another.
Exactly. So instead of obsessing over hitting a certain number, it's more important to look at the trend. Is your ENPS score going up over time? That's a good sign that you're moving in the right direction.
So it's more about progress than perfection.
Precisely. It's also important to remember that the numbers only tell part of the story.
Oh, right. Because a score of, say, 40 could mean totally different things depending on the context.
Exactly. For one company, it might mean things are generally good, but there are a few areas for improvement. For another company, it might be masking some serious underlying issues. That's why you have to really dig into that qualitative feedback. You have to try to understand the why behind the numbers.
So the quantitative data gives you the overview, but the qualitative data is what adds the depth, the color.
Exactly. It's in those individual stories and experiences that you often find the most valuable insights for making change.
That's a really good point.
And this actually brings up a really interesting thought. You know, EMPS can be a really powerful tool, but it's not the only way to get feedback from employees.
Okay, I was just thinking that. There must be other ways to take the pulse of how employees are feeling, right?
Absolutely. The article briefly mentions a few alternatives, but I think it's a topic that deserves its own deep dive.
Oh, I'm all for that. Let's broaden our perspective a bit, see what other tools and techniques are out there.
Sounds good to me. I'm ready when you are.
Okay, so we've covered that ENPS is a good place to start, but it's not the only way to really figure out what's going on with employees, how they're feeling.
Definitely not. It's just one piece of the puzzle.
Right. So what are some of those other tools, techniques you mentioned? Fill me in.
Well, one that comes to mind is something called a stay interview. It's interesting. It's kind of like the opposite of an exit interview.
Oh, how so?
Instead of trying to figure out why someone's leaving, you're being proactive, trying to understand why people stay.
Interesting. So you're not waiting till it's too late. You're trying to prevent people from leaving in the first place?
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What kinds of questions would you even ask in a stay interview?
It's all about getting at what motivates people, you know? What are the things they're facing, the challenges? What do they actually value about their work?
Yeah, makes sense.
You might ask something like, what makes you excited to come to work every day?
Mm.
What are some things that would make you consider leaving?
Okay.
What could we be doing better? Things like that.
I love that. It's like you said, being proactive.
Right. Yeah.
You're getting ahead of any potential problems before they even become problems.
Exactly. And it shows your employees that you're actually invested, that you care about making it a good place to work.
Right. Right. Okay. So stay interviews, that's one thing. But there must be tons of other ways to get this kind of feedback from employees.
Oh, yeah. There are so many creative ways to do this. One approach I've seen work well is just creating more like informal channels for feedback.
Okay. Like what?
Things like a good old-fashioned suggestion box.
Classic.
Or maybe online forums or even a dedicated Slack channel where people can just share their thoughts, maybe anonymously.
I can see how that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just don't feel comfortable speaking up in a more formal setting, but they might be willing to share if it's anonymous.
Exactly. It gives them a voice, makes them feel heard.
It's like you're constantly checking the temperature of the company culture instead of just doing those, you know, big formal checkups every few months.
Exactly. And speaking of taking the temperature, another tool that's becoming more popular is the pulse survey.
Pulse survey, okay.
Yeah, these are those short, frequent check-ins. They let you gauge how everyone's feeling in real time.
So instead of those long annual surveys, it's more like quick little check-ins.
Exactly. Pulse surveys are really good for getting a quick read on morale. You know, you can quickly see if there's anything that needs immediate attention.
Like taking the pulse of the organization, so to speak.
Exactly.
So it sounds like the main thing here is that there's not one right way to get this feedback from employees. It's more about using a bunch of different tools, a bunch of different techniques to really get the full picture.
Exactly. ENPS is a good starting point, but it's just the beginning.
Right.
You have to be proactive, you know, get creative and keep looking for ways to improve.
So it's all about creating a culture of open communication where everyone feels valued, everyone feels heard.
Exactly. Where people actually feel good about coming to work every day.
And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive.
Thanks for joining us.
We hope you've learned a thing or two about ENPS and all the ways you can create a truly great workplace. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, keep striving to make work a better place for everyone.
See you next time.
Bye, everyone.